Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Infamous Eternal Champions. I'm Jeremy, here with my most awesome co-hosts, Aaron and Kenny. How are you doing, Aaron?
Aaron is doing fabulous. Ask me why.
God damn, that's fucking kick-ass. Why?
Because Aaron finished painting all of the store monsters and now gets to work on his own shit and is very happy.
Son of a bitch.
For the listeners, how many monsters was that?
16 times 4, 64. I painted 64 monsters.
Oh my god, that hurts.
Yeah, my wrist hurts.
Well, mine
too. You weren't supposed to make it out of that prison.
Yeah, that's...
You weren't supposed to make it out of that prison.
How are you doing, Jeremy, with your painting stuff?
I just finished Victor before this cast, so I am 100%. I can name the number of trees I've painted and things, but I can tell you painting those monsters was pretty epic, man. That's a huge deal, especially since they were in front of your actual models. Yeah, you were imprisoned. It was pretty silly.
I would like to share what I did. I painted half of Brock.
Kenny, no one gives a just move on.
I painted half of Brock. I painted Barnaskis all green. I painted Marcus all gray. I feel good about it.
God damn. You need to be put to sleep.
Look, what half of Brock did you paint? That's what I'm curious.
Well, I mean, I got a couple
the bottom there. Half. It's, the base.
There's some skin tone and some pants.
Okay.
And that's
that guy'll die just fine.
Yeah, I got his beard, little orange beard. I kind of modeled his beard after mine, you know. A little.
Okay.
So Brock reminds
so
me.
So we didn't ask our
Brock, yeah. Brock reminds me of my most favorite miniature that I own ever. It is Blood Bowl coach. It's a dwarf with a very long beard, and he's holding two dice, right? Because you got to do some rerolls and stuff in that game. So he's got outstretched arms with dice in each hand and a very, very long beard. And that's it. He is otherwise nude.
No more.
And there might,
I was gonna say,
there might be something sticking out wicked. From his beard.
Oh my god.
I don't know
why. Is
this
a GW model?
No, definitely not.
I was gonna say, I thought I saw this model, but nope. Not seen that.
Yeah, not GW. Anyway, go ahead, Jeremy.
So Kenny, I didn't officially ask you, how are you doing, Kenny? Are you good?
I am great. Took my losses this weekend like a champ.
I was going to ask, so what level of rage are you in? A mild simmer, a boil, or like a overflowing raging inferno?
About judgment? I'm fine with judgment. Judgment is not my problem. I played a lot of games this weekend online. I did not get a chance to come down and play with you guys on Monday because Mondays are just difficult for me. But I did play a lot this weekend, and I got my teeth kicked in pretty good. I lost a bunch of games. I played. Yeah. I purposely went into Victor quite a bit, but I have, you know, I have thoughts on summoners in general. Might be just a little tad too good, but you know, that's for another day.
Have you ever played a model or against a model and thought to yourself, "Man, that model needs a little tuning. Needs a little help. Kind of weak, I think."
Yeah, just one cradle.
Oh no! Time out. Flag on the play.
Oh my!
I was waiting for it. Are we doing the commercial with the replay?
Yeah. I'm going to rewind.
Can I show you where Cradle touched me?
Well, the first games we ever played, because Cradle was one of my hot fives, so she came back with me from Warfare Weekend.
This is going to be good.
Yeah.
And Kenny was immediately just throwing rocks at a wall, being like, Lug Drug and Cradle are busted. Absolutely busted. Worst thing in the game. We'll never play against them again.
It was in threes. We were playing threes at the time, and that felt really oppressive for new players. So I'm gonna say I did have a minor freak out initially.
A minor freak out.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, let's jump into the what have we been playing, games, et cetera, et cetera. Aaron, you want to lead us into that?
Sure. So. We're going to do this in two parts, part A and part B. Part A of my league games, and I need to give some shout-outs to my European opponents, especially because they found a piece of wood lying nearby and picked it up and beat me to smithereens with it.
Tell me more.
I played against
humble 2x4.
Yeah, Zor and Sunny, and life did not go well. I'm not going to give a game recap of all our games, but yeah. They just played really well. Showed me a lot of things to do, things not to do. I made some mistakes. They didn't make nearly as many mistakes, and gave me a large slice of humble pie. And then
Vassal.
Those are the Vassal games, rounds 2 okay. and 3 of the European League. I managed to win my round 2 game in the U.S. League against, who was that? Oh, Saren Vazkarian. It was a 5-3 game. So that's part A, getting my butt stopped in Europe. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you play in enough leagues, you'll find yourself winning something, right? Another. Like, just European leagues, Asian leagues. Like, how many leagues are you in?
I'm in 2, because you're right. At some point, I have to win a game, is the theory.
Splash the pot.
Yeah. And then...
But go ahead.
B is in real life. So people locally are not liking the fact I'm running Bruel and Slingshot Jank into them. And so I'm not. I'm running other stuff. And I don't remember who it was, but they made a request that we do a deep dive on Cradle because we had basically taken all the S-tier models and reviewed them first. Turns out they said that tongue-in-cheek and were joking, but I took it to heart. And so I have been trying to play Cradle as kind of my pet project, if you will. And so I'm still going to stick through that, I think, trying to play Cradle as much as I can to really kind of try to unlock that character. So that's what I've been doing in real life, and I've been having a good time.
Kenny, what have you been up to?
I played both of my games this weekend for round 2 and round 3. I don't know if I talked about it, because I think I played Fabius afterwards, but he and I had a really good game. I lost to a Fazeal Effigy Dive, which I didn't see coming. I should have, and I didn't. And then I actually played against Cradle when I played, I'm going to butcher his name, Nymaren. He played Cradle, and he even said, I don't know why I'm doing this, and then put it on the table, and then proceeded to run it right at me. And he multiple times, like, I don't know why I made this list. I made it how many ever weeks ago. And I was like, yeah, I thought it was odd, but... Yeah, Cradle did not perform well. Lorabella was actually my champion there. She owned that game.
What do you know?
I know, shocking. Owned it a different way.
Weird.
I know, right?
So you both played Cradle this week. Let me ask this. So she is Melee 8, right?
No.
Melee 7?
Keep dreaming.
No.
Melee 6.
There you go. There you go. You got there.
Okay. And Shadow Mist, because that's her deal, and it's one of the most convoluted rules that I could possibly find. I had to look at like 10 different things to figure out what in the hell is happening there. And she swings a whole lot of times because she has backswing. So explain, and we're not going to review Cradle today, just heads up. I'm just kind of number one. Everybody, these two guys are playing Cradle, and tell me why and like what was going on. Like,
so what was first that? Before everyone yelled at us, although they probably already did. She doesn't have backswing. She has dual wield, which I realize in your mind you know what she has.
Gotcha.
But backswing doesn't have a negative associated with it, whereas dual wield has the minus one.
Right. Yep.
Gotcha.
Okay, Kenny, you take it away first.
What do I think about her? Is that?
Yeah, like what's going on with her kit? Like what? If she failed against you, then what was happening there? And then Aaron is trying to wedge it into list recently. So why? So you go first.
After my initial problem with her in threes, I think the biggest problem with Cradle is she is a bruiser that doesn't hold up in a melee fight very well. You're talking, she is melee 6. She does a lot of the other bruisers are what, melee 7, almost most of them. She's agility 3. Most of the other bruisers are usually have some little bit, I don't want to say better defense, but she's also, she does have res. But the problem is, really, she's an undead model. So she gets up in it, she's fighting, she can't get souls herself, but then when she gets killed, the soul automatically banks. And I have said from the beginning that I think undead are a problem in that aspect, and that the only undead model that's really viable in my eyes is Fazeel, because he has the ability, he's got better ability to heal with the leech and the temporary health and stuff like that. He's also got better mobility. He can kind of get in and get out. Cradle is not as good at that.
What are you finding, Aaron?
So I think Cradle is an extremely complex character. I 100% agree with everything Kenny said. So I played her in two real life games. In the second one against Richard, he was just like, well, I'm just going to kill Cradle five times and win the game. And that's everything he did.
Oh, no.
Just kill Cradle. Kill Cradle. Newsflash, they ended up pulling it out through other models doing other things. But yeah, she is definitely a liability. 15 health, 3-1 is not a horrible stat line, but it's not going to keep her alive. She does not have the melee bruising that, say, a Drelgoth does. You know, he's basically the same, right? He, in terms of, I'm a model with dual wield, but he's got the 7 stat line for the Mel versus the 6, and it's a big deal. The fact that he's also not undead means you don't, you know, if someone grabs his soul, you can get it back. The reason that Cradle is interesting is the combination of regen with Shadow Mist, right? So Cradle can be down on health, and I was actually playing her in a kind of a Healy Krognar band where I had Nias and Lorabella, and so Cradle can heal people with her Shadow Mist tokens, as well as those other two models. And so it was an interesting way to synergize healing to kind of keep her alive. The last thing I'll say is I have never used Shadow Door, and that's probably a problem, because it's probably the best stat slash ability on her card that really sets her apart from being a melee bruiser. Is she's definitely more support, and I need to figure out how to leverage those different abilities to make her shine in that role.
Yeah, I don't...
Remind me what Shadow Door does.
She spends 3 Shadow Mist counters, and an adjacent friendly model can be placed adjacent to any Shadow Orb icon. Hmm.
Like, I don't hate that. Okay. I think the biggest part of her problem is she doesn't have an ability like Rakir where she can Shadow Step without spending the AP.
That literally does right there. That's exactly what it says.
Well, she has to spend an AP for it, though.
It's 0 AP.
No, for the Shadow Door?
Shadow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a adjacent friendly model. I guess she...
That could be her.
Can place herself. Yeah, I guess she could. Yep.
And it doesn't... She could do that and Shadow Step, so she could step through a Shadow Door that she creates to a different Shadow Orb, in which case that Shadow Orb she steps from isn't destroyed. She could attack twice and then Shadow Step back. And there's a lot of things she could do, but the problem is, why are you doing this with your melee 6, 1-2-4 damage stat line piece?
Right.
Right, she really needs to be able to leverage those abilities to make your other big hitters get work done. And again, I think there's probably something there that would be too good if she was buffed, but I haven't unlocked it yet. And so that's what I kind of want to do.
She's just one of those complicated models that has a lot going on, and I can never tell until I play against it a bunch or play it myself a bunch if it's just smoke and mirrors or if it's actually something. So, hey, I'm interested to see it being played.
Do you have to do damage to get a Shadow Mist counter?
An enemy model must take damage from a friendly model's basic attack while within 2 of Cradle.
Okay.
So she doesn't have to do damage. Someone else could. But damage has to be done.
Cool. So I played some games. I played your son.
I'm sure.
Who I... So I came to the table... And I said, all right, let's do this. We roll dice, we get set up, and like two gentlemen, as we are, I moved towards a shrine, and he moved to the center of the table. And I was like, interesting. So I moved to the other area where I needed to be. I was like, okay, I'll grab the soul. He moved to the center of the table. Then he moved to the center of the table. Then he moved to the center table. On turn 2, he put almost all of his models on my effigy. And I was like, is this really happening? So he started hacking away, like at a tree. And then I started panicking, pulling levers and punching buttons as fast as I could to get him the fuck off of me. It was startling, quasi-effective. I don't know if he pulled it off. a few days ago when he was trying it, but it definitely threw me aback for what he was up to. It actually kind of made me chuckle. It was one of those games where I was like, oh my God, what in the fuck is happening here? And he ended up paying for it, as, you know, everyone online was kind of mentioning, like, well, you should have been able to deal with that. Well, yeah, but when you're like, we're going to play checkers and someone brings out chess on you, you're like, oh, this is a different game. I see.
Yeah.
Has he actually honed that in to be something yet? Or is it still just kind of...
No, he tried it again against Richard, failed, and has since shit-canned the list.
Okay. It was cute. I will give him that.
Yeah.
Then we played a game. Me and Aaron played a game. And it was kind of a standard. Again, Cradle was doing a bunch of things, and I was trying to follow along. At the end of the day, he got ahead, and he took the game. But it was a good game as well. Fun games all around.
Didn't you and I play on Vassal, like, Friday?
We did. Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh, I won. I won. That's all I remember.
I'm glad I was so impressionable. Yeah, I don't remember. Like, my problem right now is I haven't found a warband that just, like, suits what I want to do. And I'm kind of, like, throwing pieces together and still learning models. And you definitely suffer as the player who knows the least about the models they're using in this game, which is good. I love games that, you know, the person who is more honed in on their game than the other person generally will win. And that's the way it should be. So I'm still learning a lot. I lost.
I want to say I lost a lot of games this weekend too, so don't feel bad about it. I lost 2 to Fabius, 1 to Corey, 1 to Tarith. So yeah.
I do need to expand really quick on my game against Sonny. So Sonny is known as a Kogan lover. In fact, it's on, I don't know who created it, but it's a picture of Kogan on the, like, that's all folks,
that's
judgment.
That's judgment, folks?
Yeah.
You mean the Wile E. Coyote looking thing?
Yeah, that's Kogan, isn't it?
I think
Sonny created it. So don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure Sonny created it, and that's Kogan. And Sonny has a known love for Kogan in Krognar. So I knew this. And so who did I ban when I got to play Sonny?
Laura Bella.
The answer is not Kogan, because I know he has a love. Like, we're not going to ban Kogan. I want you to have fun with your special toy, right? And he was just like, aha. Well, let me show you how I have fun with my special toy. Holy shit. I've never been bent over a table so hard by a model as he did to me with Kogan. Yeah, basically ramping to level 3 very quickly, placing him in the center of the table behind a shrine, and then I threw the game when I miscounted. Like, I had plenty. I didn't even use my third action with Zanya because I thought I was 5 away from his Kogan. Turns out I was only 4 away, so I just gave him a model for free. And then he's like, what if I spent a fate in Buckshot, and now I'm just attacking multiple of your models, and then you're knocked down. And now it was just, he probably did like 65 damage to my team throughout the course of the game. He just sat there in the middle of the table, never moved, and just turned the blunderbuss into a fucking Gatling gun and just murdered everyone. It was impressive.
I did
to
watch
see.
That game. Oh, I was impressed. I did watch the end of that. So you said you lost when you did that. I said, no, I think you lost before that.
Well, I lost when he killed Zanya.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you mean I lost when I didn't ban Kogan? Sure.
Yeah.
Step one.
So anyway, hats off to Sonny for opening my eyes with exactly how good Kogan can own a table if he wants to.
Cool. So we have a tournament coming up this weekend. Are you both playing in it?
Yeah.
I am.
I will be there.
Do you know what list you will be playing?
I do not. I mean, I'm more than happy to make one up on the fly, but I do not have a plan.
I also don't, because I gave Perrin first dibs this time. And so he'll take his 7 models. I will see what I can do not playing Bruellen. So I'm gonna branch out a little bit. There's a there's a really good chance it'll be Krognar, because I really want to try to get good with that.
Okay.
Do you have a plan, Jeremy?
I think everyone is still exploring. I used Gruul last, and I had fun with it. So I think my goal is to do the summon a Terra as fast as possible list, which was pretty cool. I've been putting Victor together, so possibly run Victor and that, like, just a bunch of dudes on the table. I don't know that I'm super psyched to use Xeron and put as many dudes on table as I can. But it intrigues me. Like, this game has a lot of things that make me go, what if I did this? Or, yeah, it just, it's very interesting. So I'm thinking Grohl, probably.
Okay.
We had, how many people showed up for our local game night last
day? I think there were 7, maybe 8.
Wow. I'm missing out.
You are missing out, loser.
I know. With a adult job where I got to get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, trust me, I know.
So we're getting models painted. So Adepticon is around the corner. We're going to be ready with all the models painted, Kenny?
I'm shaking my head yes, but I'm no. I'm going to, my plan is to get the base layers on everything. And then if I just to get like 3 or 4 different colors on it, probably give it a wash, and then I can paint detail later if I have to at my leisure.
How long did it take you to paint 60 Vajashas? Because I
lost track of time.
I think you have time to paint this, Kenny.
Yeah,
there's no excuse.
How dare you hobby shame me, sir? How dare you?
How dare you, you son of a bitch.
I have feelings. Don't shame me in public.
You have feelings, but no painted models.
You were supposed to shame me in private. You're supposed to call me a dumbass in text.
In text. Now, that can be proven. You don't ever do anything in text. That's a legal binding document these days.
Somebody that's got COPPA for says that.
Ooh.
I should be mostly painted.
Yeah, so Adepticon's coming.
Yes, I should be mostly painted.
We have a truckload of terrain we'll be bringing. Models, monsters, terrain, all of that. I'm super psyched about Adepticon.
Is there store terrain that's good to go yet, like at the store?
Yeah.
There's a shitload of it,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. If I show up on Friday and I get somebody to show up on Friday, like I don't have to bring my own terrain?
No.
Okay.
The only thing the store doesn't have is smoke, and that's in the works. So we've just been turning over, you know, a 2-hex piece to active smoke.
Okay.
They don't have the new monsters yet. So they're still missing a couple things, but you could absolutely show up and play without needing any of your stuff.
Okay. Just my models.
And then pretty soon, what we're planning on doing is, once we have all of the terrain, is putting each map in its own tray. And so a tray will be labeled map 1, for instance. And then you just go grab, you know, that bucket, and we'll have all of the terrain and monsters you need for map 1. And then you'll grab the map, or the actual mat, sorry, that's nearby that says map 1 or map 1, and it will have like masking tape where you put everything down.
Oh, okay.
So you just grab the terrain, you put it on there, and you're done. So it should be really, really easy setup. And if you don't want to play on a mat that has pre-marked locations where you put down the things, then just bring your own, right? But the store should be like super easy setup and tear down.
I like that. I did not know you guys were doing that.
Well, once all the terrain is actually available, otherwise it doesn't make a lot of sense until that happens.
Right.
Soon.
Showing up and having terrain on the tables upon arrival made life so much better. Like, that probably saved legitimately a half an hour.
You can
by the time you drag your own stuff in, it being set up was awesome last Monday when we played. That was so cool.
Yep, that was all Perrin. I basically said, I'm going to play with Brandon. You go get 3 tables set up.
poor kid.
That's why he tried to charge my effigy so hard. Damn it.
Well, could you just imagine?
Just wait till Jeremy gets here.
the browbeating that he gets on a daily basis.
Well, you can tell. Like he plays like anything can happen, and he barely flinches. Where everyone else will flip their shit about almost anything. He's just dull to the any of it. Like winning, losing, it's all the same.
He just marks
a box.
I will lose my
for
mind.
For punishment later.
And be like, I don't understand, Perrin. Why the fuck are you rolling 8-on-8 or 8-on-6? And then he'll be like, eh. And then he just goes on. like he's heard this before. And I'm like, what? I get no reaction. And then and there's times where he'll throw me off. I'm like, I look at him like, I get no reaction. And he just looks at me. No. Nothing? I get nothing?
I called him out because we went to play MCP last weekend, and he and I met on final table. He did not have a stoic demeanor during our game.
Really?
He was, He was visibly frustrated. So I caught him out afterwards. I was like, so you do a great job of not tilting or, you know, getting mad. And, like, you'll be getting your ass kicked, but having a great time doing it. And it's one of the things I love about him, other than the fact he's my kid.
But, secondary.
Right? Now, first of all, you're a great loser, and that's awesome. But against me, he was definitely tilting hard. So I asked, and he's like, well, again, for you, I can show that. Like, I can get mad. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'd take that as a compliment or an insult. But
He probably wants to beat you more than other people.
Probably.
I don't know about that. Yeah. No, I was like, learned helplessness. That's what it is. It doesn't matter. I'll get my beatings when I get home regardless. Yeah. So, health tracking. Let's talk about it. We talked about it on our very first cast. We've kind of dug around and found some things that are working. So just kind of throw them out there. Aaron, what have you found?
So after lots of debate and decision and indecision, I have gone with Sunny's printed character trays, ordered a bunch of countdown D10s that came in. And so that's the solution that I used last week and will be using going forward. I, in fact, just printed out my own item cards that we'll be using this coming weekend that match the new item card format. Granted, these are just homegrown item cards that have names, no artwork. And if they work, then I will distribute them to everyone and see how everyone likes those. But that's what I'm doing. I'm using a character tray with countdown D10s that has the tarot size card and a spot for item cards that slide under it.
Mm-hmm. I'm using the discs that I made for myself, and they're working very well. I do like the idea of the dice in those trays. In fact, I have them ordered. The only thing I'm seeing that I don't like is, again, the brown on light tan on brown. So when you're looking across, you can see health. Health is cool, but you have no idea who you're looking at. I mean, look at the tabletop. You kind of can tell the environment of what's going on, who's hurt and whatever. But it's just, it's still a bit annoying that there isn't the perfect thing yet. But when the cards are possibly reprinted or redesigned with maybe some different colors in the future, I think that'll help a lot.
Has anybody ordered the drive-through ones yet?
No. There's a chance we could get a bulk discount at Adepticon. So I need to reach out to Creature Caster and see what that likelihood is.
Okay. I was wondering, are they different? Like, are they brighter?
They are more vibrant. They are very vibrant. They are high quality. I want to pay 20 plus shipping for them, but they are top notch.
What do you mean by 20? Oh, they're $20 plus shipping. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
And we can't get a bulk thing like ordering 10.
Correct. There's no bulk discount on ordering. It's 20 plus shipping for every set you get. Otherwise, I was going to order like 10 sets for this, you know, the store, and everyone could have some. But yeah.
Is there a world where, I don't know if you brought this up with Peachcaster, because you talk to them more than I think any of us do. Is there a world where they start putting those cards in the boxes?
No.
Okay.
That is not from any inside knowledge, right? I don't talk to them nearly as much as you think I do.
Okay.
I just do not foresee that for many reasons. But without going into it, the short answer is no. They've gone away from that for a good reason, which is, you know, the updates that they're going to need to do. And they don't want stuff that they're sending out to be out of date when it gets to people's hands, just like the core box now.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious. Like, I love the concept of just kind of hot swaps and hot changes, and just like tomorrow it's going to be different. Like, that's fine by me. They can keep doing that. I just wish that the names of characters was brighter and whatever. Like, if I wanted, I suppose I could just do it Photoshop-wise and just fix the damn things for myself. But, you know. It's tiny stuff at this point. I think that we have some ways of tracking that are way better than how we started.
Yep.
Which is all I was looking for.
I have a testimonial.
Go for it.
I'd like to share from an undisclosed source, because I don't have permission. This was a private chat. But I'm still going to read what they said. They said, you know, the devs are really good at judgment, because when I come up with a rat bastard idea, they don't let you get away with it.
A rat bastard idea.
So this person is trying to go through maps and figure out if there's a Bujasha that spawns. They want to go up 2-0 on souls start of turn 2. It's like being able to harvest a soul turn 1 and then with Pryo the other one turn 2.
Okay.
Using movement shenanigans and shadow step and a bunch of different things. But after all of the weird shenanigans that they're trying, like it's possible on like 3 of the 8 maps. But then you have to get a bunch of very specific conditions, like Bujasha and where they spawn, and it's not worth the squeeze. But bottom line, you know, we're all trying to break the game in various ways, like Perrin with his effigy dive, or this person with their "I'm just going to steal all the souls" and then retreat and, you know, have a significant advantage. But they're all just not quite possible, and that speaks, I think, to a lot of really good game design. And that was their takeaway too, right? So the game, we're pushing the envelope, trying to break it, and finding the game just won't fucking break. And that's great, right?
Yeah. I'm completely, I don't see any holes, or, you know, I haven't broken to the ones and zeros of the game and gone, I now see the Matrix. I don't think that exists, which is awesome. Yeah.
But that ties back into the cards, though, in the update, with I think what you were saying, and what I agree with, is that for a game to be competitively viable, you need the ability to make emergency erratas and or balance updates. And as soon as you print a card and send it out, you're more or less tied to that card for a certain amount of time. Like, that's failings with MCP is they're very hesitant to change anything because that card, they don't want to have to change it. So as long as you go print to play, man, I love games that go print to play because there's no hesitancy to be like, nope, we need to change this for the health of the game, and they just do it. They upload a new image, and then everyone else can just print it and play with it. So anyway, two thumbs up. I love the decision to go that route.
I love that as well. That is one of the big things I've always talked about is we live in a digital age, and companies in general are afraid to change things because they're worried about the physical card when just send it to me and I'll print it myself if I have to. So, but I appreciate that.
I think most people, unfortunately got rid of their color printer 20 years ago.
Me.
So
I did. I have not owned a color printer in 10 years, probably.
I'm telling you, man, I just have a laser black and white, and that's the money. I don't need anything else.
So I can go have like 20 photos printed at Walmart for like $2.
Yep.
Like, you put it in a file, you just upload it to Walmart or Walgreens or Office Depot, doesn't matter where you go. If you're talking on like a one sheet of paper, it's got to be less than a dollar.
I mean, up here, I can go to the public library and print something off for 10 cents.
Too much work. Yeah. Way too much work.
I live right next to the library, so it's fine.
I'll gladly pay an extra $11 to have a card in my kit.
Well, spoken like a rich man.
Yeah. Whatever. No, I think it's excellent. The way they do things with the updates and all that's excellent. Okay, so the idea of this podcast is we're going to take a character, we're going to talk about it, we'll break it down, and then Aaron will judge it with numbers, and we will say if we hate it or we love it and all of those things. This week's model is, Kenny, as the expert in this model, who are we doing this week?
Expert, really?
Yes.
All right, we're going to do Gendrys from the Avatar of Gruul.
Excellent. In this little series that we'll do the next few, I really want to do some avatars and get those kind of out of the way. So we will go with Gendrys.
You going to do all the avatars just in a row?
Something like that. Bang them out. I don't know.
Let's get it.
I mean, we got to have some sort of organization, right? People could freak out. We don't want people to freak out.
I mean, if they freak out, that means they listen, right?
Yeah, we're making a lot of assumptions to people listening.
I mean, they don't listen to me. That's been established.
All right, so Gendrys, Aaron, you ever pulled up there?
Yep.
All right, what makes her cool? What makes her tick? What are we looking at here?
She is kind of a jack-of-all-trades model. Melee 6, Magic 7. She's got a 3-1 defensive stat line with a Soul Harvest of 5. So she can either be a Soul Harvester, or she can sit back with her Magic 7 and blast people with her staff. I guess it's technically a lightning bolt from her staff. Reach 4, 2, 3, 4. is the stat line. She also has a reach 2 weapon, only one of two models in the game right now with reach 2 base. So that sets up a lot of flexibility for her to be able to hit stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, 2, 3, 4 to me screams Bruiser is not your main job. And indeed, the classes she has assigned is Controller and Shooter, which I find very appropriate.
Controller. Why Controller?
Well, that probably has to go down to one of her level 1 active abilities called Wild Growth. For an AP and a Fate, place a forest template within 3 hexes. Counts as treacherous ground for enemy models and expires at the start of Gendris' next activation. That is amazeballs.
It is a 4-hex template. I didn't know this when I first started playing her because I was playing it as a 2-hex template, but it is a 4-hex template, so it's a large template.
How do you know that it's a 4-hex instead of a 2-hex template, Kenny?
I asked the dev.
Okay.
Well, it's...
Could I find that rule anywhere?
It should be in the rule book, as I believe it says that a forest template is this. I don't know the exact page of where it's at, but that's what I was told. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're wrong, because I can't find it anywhere. Because you told me that, and I wanted to go look at it. I don't believe someone here needs to tell me.
I just told you.
Sure. Point it out, not somewhere in the rule book. Because I can do a control F search for template, and it's not anywhere there.
Okay.
Look, just take his word for it.
It is not under her FAQ either. So, yeah, I don't know. All I know is I was told I was playing it wrong.
Yeah. So I agree that it is the 4, but only because you said so. So whoever's listening, please tell me where I can find an actual rule that says the forest hex must be the 4-hex forest template. Anyway, enough about that.
We just had Andrew on. Damn it.
I know.
We could have asked him.
So what's interesting about this as compared to Marcus's wall is this forest does not have to be placed completely within the 3-hex radius. So only one of those 4 hexes has to be within 3. The rest can be anywhere. It also does not have to be placed on not on models, just like the wall, you know, has to be placed on unoccupied. This can be not be placed on top of other terrain, but could be placed on top of, say, your models to, you know, grant them instant stealth if you wish, or make it harder to be charged, or synergize with Gruul's Warband and EP.
That part's interesting. I had not picked that up. I have not placed it on people before. That's cool. Made some assumptions there.
Sure.
She also has Find a Path.
Which is
for 1 AP, target model within 2 gains Pathfinder +1 movement, expires in. That seems like that's good.
Yes, and no.
It's okay.
Kenny, go ahead.
It's just okay. The times where it has actually been useful, I think I used it once, and I'm pretty sure I used it to go through the forest I just put down. I think it's just okay. I don't think it's like game breaking or all that great. It cost her an AP, which she's a premium model in my opinion, and her AP is very valuable. And I don't know if I want to do that with her.
Okay. Explain why it's not good, Aaron.
I didn't say it's not good, but the best thing about this ability is its name. I find that absolutely hilarious.
Find a path.
Grant's Pathfinder. Yes. It is hilarious and I love it.
Cute.
Yeah, it is situationally good, right? Just kind of like Kenny ascribed. But I compare that to, say, Cruul with Bloodlust, which is almost universally good. You're almost always going to get a benefit from it. You know what you're trying to set up when you do it. A lot of times, you can probably... especially with the reduced terrain that's on maps now, you can probably avoid most terrain just using geometry and your movement as opposed to needing Pathfinder. So there are obviously some times it can be cool. Like against Marcus, he puts on a wall, you're like, I counter with Find a Path. You know, it's not bad, but it is definitely not something that you're building around, if you will.
Okay. It's good to have, right? It's one of those things that's good to have, just in case.
Absolutely. And the +1 move might be the best part of it. You know, if you're talking about, you know, extending threat ranges, You know, what if I put an Abathus, a Piper, a Fazeal, or a Nephany, and I gave them plus one move, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, shooting eight squares up the board. Like, you can, there's some jank you can pull off with it. I'm just not sure I've really explored using her in that way.
She also has Lightning Leap for two. Takes damage from Lightning Bolt. Another enemy within two of the hex. So, I mean, that's nice.
I have not gotten it to really do much for me. I've heard that a lot of people have had it do great for them in the past. And I guess she used to be better. I don't know what used to be better about her. But it's... I have typically not gotten it to really work out well for me.
Also of note that the EP, the Avatar bonus, rather, says that when, after it's called, her Lightning Leap cost is permanently reduced to one judgment instead of two combat maneuvers.
Yeah.
I think it used to be one combat maneuver instead, and I think she got, quote-unquote, nerfed to one judgment instead of just one.
Yeah, it's one J, so I get it to go off.
The other avatar bonus that I actually never realized is friendly models that begin within two hexes of Gendris gain Pathfinder.
Yep, which is her find a path immediately goes down. That's why I said I never really used it, because when I pop the effigy power, I forgot to mention it because I was distracted. But yeah, I never really used find a path because she gives Pathfinder to models of the two.
Fair enough.
Cool.
And I've never really seen her used as the, you know, grab a... you know, ring of power, go to Magic Gate, sit back and blast with her Lightning Bolt. Probably because it's reach four. For the most part, I think the game is designed around your dedicated range having reach six, those being like Alundir on a shell. Your dedicated magic users being five. And then four is usually your quasi support. And then three is just like Lugdrug and Kogan.
Same.
The Saiyan reach three?
Yeah, I've played a lot of Saiyan recently, and it's bad. I don't like it. But
so that kind of puts putting people in boxes they don't necessarily deserve to be put into. But it is hard to run a pure ranged damage person the shorter your range gets. So anyway.
All right. So level two, managed to get to level two, hold person. 1 AP. Target enemy model within 3 hexes cannot perform an advance or charge action until the next activation. Enemy can remove hold person by spending 1 fate. Oh my. Have you ever used it? What does it do?
I used it once. This was another situation where when I was playing her, I had a very specific thing in mind, and hold person wasn't a part of that. But I did use it once on a model because she was standing in front of somebody else's model, I think it was a Thorgar, was standing in front of her, and I didn't want to be just outright, and he was out of fate, and I didn't want to be outright charged, so I used that. Because she'd just gotten charged by Zanya, because this was a Bruella list. I think it wasn't Richard. But anyway, that's irrelevant. I used it just the one time, and it worked, but I've not really found a reason to use it again, personally.
Is that because you're racing to get to level three?
Yes, I'm racing to get to level three.
Nothing stops you from using it once you get to level three.
No, well, sure. But we can talk about that when I get to level three.
Okay.
that's what I'm here for, to talk about level three.
sticking with level two, I think I've only actually played Gendris once ever, so huge grain of salt. But level two is an ability that is either super overpowered or a horrible. And by that I mean, like, in your instance where they don't have any fate, or they are very fate starved, and maybe they have one, but they really want to use it on, you know, toxin, but now they can't because they have to spend it for hold person. Like, it can really screw up your opponent's activation by you spending one AP in exchange for their one fate. On the other hand, if you're playing a game where your opponent's got like four plus fate at the beginning of the turn, you spending an AP is probably not worth their fate, right? There are times when AP is more valuable than fate, in which case it's an almost useless ability. So very situational as to when it would be useful, but it could be extremely good.
Okay. We make it to level three and Kenny erupts.
Heck yeah, I'm...
Why is level three the hotness, Kenny?
Because she gets to summon a
you son
fucking
of a bitch.
Terra.
You son of a bitch. Fuck you, Terra.
She gets to summon a Terra, and I know that I have talked about how I think summoning is super strong, maybe even a tad too good. But she is summoning a level 4 monster, Terra. And what I was doing was I was charging, basically setting up a monster kill, getting it, and then having her charge a monster, kill it, get the fate, buy the Tome of Experience, and then pop it and go right to level 3. So top of turn 2, I can summon a Terra. I will walk, drop a Terra, and then walk away. And then use that Terra to charge into people, and great fun. Great fun had by all. By all, I mean me.
You said she's summoning a Tier 4 Monster Terra. Is she really summoning a Tier 4 Monster Terra?
It's the same. I want to say it's the same thing as... I think it might be a little less damage.
It's a little less damage, a little less on the dice that they're rolling. So it's not quite as good as the actual Monster Terra.
Correct, but it's still super good.
Well, okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't get reamed by our listeners by thinking that they're
so
the same.
You are correct. It's got one less melee, one less range, and I think the damage is 2 less on the Rock Fist.
Yep, the Rock Fist damage is 3,
and that's
4,
that's
5.
The crit. Yep.
Yeah. Well, one less on solid, 2 less on crit. Yep.
Yeah, but it still does all this the fun stuff of throwing models, knocking models down, which Jeremy got to experience. Then he started banging Gendrous, and then I stopped playing it. So, but yeah, that Terra put in work for me every time I put it on the table.
Yeah, having to fight things that really are not winning you the game is such a kick in the nuts.
But Kenny, there's an ability that the summoned one has that says elemental restraint, that says the summoner loses one action point for the activation. Surely that makes it fair and balanced.
I gave no fucks about that one. It's like, you can take all of my AP. Well, actually, I want one AP. I want one AP so I can drop a forest down. That's it. That's all I want. I did not find that restrictive, and that's part of the reason why, like, when we were talking about hold person and find a path, I never really used it, because I was constantly trying to get to level 3, drop the Terra. I had one less AP, which usually involved what I was doing with her specifically was either dropping a forest with wild growth, which cost me a fate and an AP, or just lightning bolt somebody twice, and then just being like, okay, I'm gonna lightning bolt you, and then the Terra charges you, or I'll have the Terra charge you, try to knock you down, and then lightning bolt you.
All I know is I really didn't respect this model very much until that Terra hit the board on turn 2, and then it's a shit show. So going with that, the items that she wants, really the tome. Is there any other item that she likes?
Ring of Power, absolutely. Yep. I mean, getting her to 8.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not sure I would do that before you got her to level 3. So I think tome is certainly one way to play her, but then the tome goes away, right? So now you're like, well, what if she was to kill something else? Or the monster kills something else and she gains the level. I think that's how it works.
Yes. Well, she doesn't gain a level.
Right, she's right, not a level. Out. But she kills another monster and, you know, gets the opportunity to buy again. I would absolutely, if I had, give her the Ring of Power for an offensive one anyway. And then defensive, there are plenty to choose from.
Yeah, I usually wasn't buying anything else with her after that because, like, that's expensive, right? So buying the Tome of Experience costs 2 fate. If you're playing on a table that's got only one pit on your side, a lot of them now are going to have 2. Like, so you can kind of mitigate it a little bit with the cost of the fate. But I usually don't want to spend anything else on her specifically because while she is I want to speed her to level 3 to get the Terra, I don't want to invest more into her because I've still got 4 other models, right? So that's kind of what I was doing with her. The only other time I ever really bought anything with her is I had a ton of fate. And I was basically a win harder, was I took the Glyph of Warding and then stood at the center of the table. So the Terra and her were standing there, res 2, in the middle of the table, taking on basically an entire team.
I hate her.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, actually, everybody else said the same thing when they saw me do it when I did it. So they didn't like it either.
Our goal is to have Kenny make very little fun.
Like I said, I'm waiting for Svetlana, and when she comes out, it's going to be Gendra, Svetlana, and Lorabella. Who are you going to ban?
You.
Okay, fair. Is this the new CGR? So, did I find my CGR?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much. All right, Aaron, you want to go through your list of Eternal rankings?
Sure. Get back to Gendris. Okay, so she's got a combat maneuver Lightning Leap. We're going to take this and give it a 5 on the power scale. Extra damage is mo better, but it's just chip damage. It's a game softener that helps. I don't know that, you know, you're counting on this to do a ton of extra damage.
I'm giving it a 4.
Oh, hold on. Oh, wait a second. I misread it. They're dealt the same amount in true damage.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I like
if you're knocked down, God help
more.
You.
You what? Did you say you like
if
it
someone's
more?
Knocked down and someone's standing next to somebody, they both fucking die.
Yeah, if she can effectively crit 3 times, that's going to be 24 damage in 1 activation. Holy balls. That's insane. Again, only played her once, but now I actually really want to play around with Lightning Leap. Yeah, let's give it like a 7. This is actually pretty damn good.
I'm still at a 4. Okay. And the reason why is because you need 2 sides for it. And I understand you're talking about the knockdown stuff. But when I was playing her, like I said, I was doing the Terra. I had 1 less AP. Getting 2 sides and still doing a fair amount of damage is difficult, right? We've kind of all established that. That's not the easiest thing to do because like one.
Oh, no. This is clearly after you call the EP, so you only need a J.
Right, right. Which is also still fairly difficult to get. It's not the easiest thing to get. So, but there are caveats to that, right? If you've got models standing farther than 2 apart, it's not doing well. So I think it's okay. I'm not gonna put it at that high of a level. Just because like I said, when I get sides, I value pushing models more than I value actually taking most of the combat maneuvers. But that's me. I value displacement more probably than most people.
Okay, Jeremy.
I'm gonna go right in the middle. I'm right in the middle. I'm gonna go about a 5, maybe 5.5, whatever. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes you'll probably not even use it. So, yeah.
Okay, moving on. Find a Path is going to be a 3 for me. It'd be a 2, except I really think that +1 move could be utilized better than I have in my head.
I'm probably at a 2. I'm not valuing it that much, especially when you start talking about how she gives it out after she calls the effigy power. And I do have high value of movement because I've been using Lorabella a lot and I've been putting the boots of Elvenkind on her. And so she charges across the table. Like, I mean, she's flash out there running around, and I put a resto potion on her in Ista so she can run to somebody and just, oh, you're back to full health. Really, really good. But after that, I'm not doing anything with it. So I don't value it that high.
Yeah. For 1 AP, I'm not sure. I am excited to throw staff of Gruul on somebody and, hit it with this to send something across the entire table through whatever. That seems insane. I'm probably going to put this slightly below Lightning Leap for power level, so I'll go 4.
Wild Growth, I'm going to give it a 6. I don't know what else to say other than that we haven't already said. Mm-hmm. It can be great. It can also hinder you, right? Because if you're using it to block off line of sight, well, all of a sudden you can't do it either. I think you have to get really good with how and why and when you use it. I think it's more situational than straight power. So a 6 for me.
I want to say 8, but I'm probably more closer to a 7. And the reason why is because it creates not just rough terrain, it creates treacherous ground. So you get -2 movement instead of -1. It does 1 armor-piercing damage when they move through it. You can place it in a way that not only protects your models, and yes, you can't see through it, but they can't either. And when I'm using it, I have found myself positioning it in a way where I'm trying to cut somebody's team in half, and I'm trying to, like, basically just cut a team in half. And then also, you got to think when you're playing Gendris, you're playing Gruul, so you're getting the the God bonus, and I can't remember exactly what you heal if you're in Treacherous Ground. Is that what it is?
More rough, I believe.
Yeah.
You heal, and it's harder to push you, you know, stuff like that. So you would, I would put, like, when I would summon the Terra, and I would summon the Wild Forest, and I put the Terra in the middle of it. Well, you can't, like, the Terra can still punch you and throw rocks at you, and you can't get past the Terra through the Treacherous Ground, so I'm essentially cutting your team in half. I found great use of that. Now, once people kind of figured that out, they kind of can play against it. But I think I did it to you, Jeremy, at LVO. And after that, you're like, well, I'm just going to ban her every time, and then I never got to play her again.
Yep.
While we're on this subject.
Seven. Go ahead.
Sorry. A tangential subject. You mentioned that Treacherous Ground takes one armor piercing damage, which is correct. So if I was to make one very minor change to the rule set of this game, why in the bejesus is that not one true damage?
I agree. Because a Res 2 model walks through it. And I did that to somebody, and they're like, it does what? Because I think I did it with Dawnregar. It's like, well, I'm going to go ahead and stow form and then walk through the Treacherous Ground. He's like, we'll take a point. I said, no. Res 3. Yeah. And he goes, what? I said, it's one armor piercing. And this was a player that has been around for a little bit. And they're like, what? I said, no, it's res. If you're a res 2, you don't take any damage. I flat out agree. I'm glad you said it, because I am 1,000% on board.
Yeah. I'll be back in a second, guys.
Yep.
Sure. I'm putting Wild Growth at, I'm going to go with an 8. I think it's very, very strong. I think it's very original for the character in the game. It seems like no one else really has a thing like that, where suddenly you go from having full line of sight, full access to whatever part of the board you want, to zero.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have no access.
It is effectively can be zero. Thing. Like I said, that dropping that forest down, it can be fucking brutal. It can really mess some people up.
And it can last a long ass time. Like, yeah, you drop it at the beginning and then drop it at the end again. Like, that's there forever.
It feels like it's there, for, like, the entire game. And I want to say that when I used it, I want to say in our game where you were really, really frustrated, I think it was the game that we played that was, like, 3 hours, is I dropped it, like, twice in that game. And both all like the both times that I dropped it, it was back-to-back. And you were just like, I can't fucking do anything! Because it just sat there, and it
was gross.
Yeah, -2 movement is, I mean, it is butt-clenchingly painful. I like how much movement you just lose.
At those times, you're like, okay, do I have a model that can place itself, for the love of God? And if you don't, that's trouble.
Yeah, unless you're playing Bruellen, and then you just Pathfinder over it when you charge. That's a story for another day.
Mm-hmm. We will go to Hold Person. So, Hold Person, what do you think about that one?
I mean, we did talk about how it's, like, situationally great and situationally bad. I think it's an average, slightly average ability. If it was, I like how it cost a fate to get rid of it. I do like that. The problem where I have is, like, Ginger's kind of wants to not be, she can be up in it, but I think she kind of wants to stay on the edges a little bit, and it's range 3 versus her attack, which is range 4, so I have found myself also, now that I had some time to think about it, of having to move myself forward to get into Hold Person range, which costs me another AP. So when I've got the Terra out, I walk up and I Hold Person, well, now I've got nothing, now I'm doing nothing. Because you want to affect a model farther away on the whole person, because I mean, and there's, you know, multiple reasons why you would do that. So I found that to be kind of restrictive, and I value her AP more not using Hold Person. So I'm at like a 5. I think it's a perfectly average.
I was
ability.
Thinking. So it seems like it would be okay. I mean, again, if they're out of fate or they're burning. Like, both of those accounts would be like, oh, nice. Or they're trying to, you know, Braille and feet turn you or something. Like, that would be sweet for that. You're like, oh, sorry, bro. You have to do that first. But, you know, it's very situational. So, to me, it's like a 3.
Well, my question would be, I guess, now that you brought that up, would spending the fate to get rid of Hold Person count as an action for Braille and so they can't charge? Okay. Because it's not a cleanse, but they have to spend a fate.
Nope. It's
What?
That's a good question.
To me, Yeah, it is, because it's not a cleanse. It always seems like anything you do that is not, I will charge this model, seems to disrupt that pattern.
Well, I'm wondering if the spending of fate is an action, or a quote-unquote active ability, whatever, like cleanse. Like, is just the action of spending a fate considered an action? Types of
so thing. I'm going to say no, because it's not. So the reason why cleansing is an action is because it's listed on the back of the rule book.
Right.
As active abilities, right?
Yep, it's a thing you can do.
Whereas this is not. Yeah, so active abilities cleanse. So I'm going to say it shouldn't, but I'm going to guess the rule is that it actually would count as your first action.
I think this is a question we should probably ask and get clarification on, because
the, I think the first... we just did. Someone's going to tell us in about 6 days when this goes out.
Well, that's a long time to wait. Oh, yeah, fuck it.
We'll I can't wait
it.
For that.
Let's
I'll
just
be
leave it.
Everybody.
It'll be a surprise. I won't mention anything about it on the rules on Discord. And we'll see what happens in 6 days.
Okay, sounds
tell good. Us. Tell me. Message me personally and say, hey, dumbass. This is how it works. If you don't say dumbass, I won't respect you.
It's the key to gaming with Kenny. Person. Everyone at Adepticon, if you're coming to Adepticon and you're playing against Kenny... as soon as he says, hi, my name's Kenny, you should go, oh, you're a dumbass. And then Kenny will actually play a good game against you.
You'll get possibly one of three reactions. One will be, who the fuck are you talking to? Two, hey, all right. Three,
all right.
I will ignore you as if you don't exist because I hate your guts now.
Possibly a little of all of it. What do you rate this one, Aaron?
Hold person's gonna be 3.
Okay, fair enough.
So it is actually it's probably a 1, because I like to view these the level up abilities as how much am I trying to level this person for this ability.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that on my turn 1, I am not leveling up Gendris specifically to get to level 2 over my other heroes ever.
Gotcha.
Not even if it gets you to level 3?
Well, that's not what we're talking about, Kenny.
Okay, fine. Level 3.
Fuck yeah, go chop Kenny. It at the bit. I'm saying it's a 10!
It's a 10!
It's a 10!
She's a 10!
10!
She's a 10!
I love the Terra. I've not been shy about it. I love the summons, which is shocking because I've not played Victor yet. But that's a whole different thing. But I love that she could summon a Terra at level 3. And I had a lot of fun when I was playing it. Even when I lost games, I was having a lot of fun with it. I think it's a great ability. Again, when I say it's a 10, I think it might be a little too strong. I think summons in general might be just a tad too strong. I'm waiting on my opinion of it. I think that maybe Victor specifically, because it's a level, he doesn't need a level to summon. I think that might be where I'm at with it. But yeah, I think this is a 10.
Aaron, give us some reason.
Okay,
bring some reason.
My
to this
reason
podcast.
Isn't that's a tall order. I'm gonna go 8.5. 8.5. Everything Kenny says is correct. Like the Terra is super good. You do get fate when you kill it. She's down to 2 AP. She's kind of a one-trick pony at that point. And you can kind of deal with that. You know what to expect. I think you can play Gendris without using her as a level 3 bot. Like, she can be a level 1 Gendris and still be perfectly functional. So for that reason, I don't think you have to always play her as a Terra bot. On the other hand, you can, and it is very good. 8.5.
8.5. All right. I'm going to go with a 9 because I think it's awesome. Does it auto-win you games? I don't know about that.
I don't know if anything auto-wins you
auto-win,
games.
Well, that's to me a 10, right? You immediately score. It's a scoring property. I mean, this thing's cool because it beats the shit out of you and there really isn't a negative for it dying. You're like, oh, I'll make another one. It's super powerful, super cool. Go with a 9.
Well, you guys are wrong. It's okay.
All right, so Gendris overall, do you take her in any other affiliation kind of things? Like, or does she just go Gruul all the time?
I think you have to take her in Gruul. I've seen people not take her. I don't, I don't personally get it. I understand they've got a plan in place with like Yorgoth, and they're doing, you know, some stuff there, and they, you know, Yorgoth and Dragoth, and they're doing some janky stuff. But out of God, I could see it. Like, I'm waiting, like as I've said, waiting for Svetlana to come out because I want to make an all summoner list. How good that is, I don't know. I don't know what God I put it under. I think it does have some play though. What do you think, Aaron?
I think I was gonna say I think a model with reach should be thought about with other gods. I don't know that she fits in there, but that is such a powerful ability, and she can create a Terra. That's also a very powerful ability. I would think that she could be used outside of God, but maybe not. I don't know.
The only argument I would make that was that she would stay in Gruul is that Svetlana will also most likely be in the same one, and so is Lorabella. So that's, and then you've also got really good pieces around her to like give her a boost. Like you've got Don Rigar. If you take her out of that, you don't have those models in there as well, and she might lose a little bit of her what she's good at. But I don't know. I've not tried it. I've not played around with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think she could absolutely be taken out of God. There's just not a, like, nothing in Gruul says this is where the best home to summon a Terra is, right? I mean, you can do that shit anywhere. So, just do it. Like, if that's your stick, like, I want to bring a Terra in turn two and play with six models, then yeah, just do that. And it doesn't matter what God you pick.
I mean, I can.
Seems that way, right? Like,
take her in Ista and heal up the Terra the whole time.
Yeah, so I really think if you do take her out of God, you're 100% on the Terra plan, because the I'm going to do damage with her lightning leap really is only effective in Gruul. So she becomes a little more one-dimensional, I think, outside of Gruul. But if that's the dimension you want, then just run with it.
Okay. What else on Gendrys? Anything?
I don't really have much.
Ooh, let's do a model hotness rating. That sounds cool.
You mean how she, as the model herself?
Yeah, not like physical hotness, but yes. How excited are you for the model to be like, this is a dope model I want to put on the table?
Okay.
Aw, Kenny,
we don't want to look at
painted.
Your partially painted.
Hey, she's,
oh my God.
She is partially painted. It's she looks good.
I do like the category. Yeah, she's got some blue on her. That looks like some blues and yellows. Excellent. Great job for a starter.
Wow, I just got talked to like a child.
Well,
good job. Maybe
like
your next
child.
One will really try.
Now I'm sad.
I do like this category. I'm going to say in every time I play with her, I think that there's more to be unlocked, which I really like. So I'm going to go a 7 for me. I think there's a lot there, and I'm excited to keep running with her.
So are we talking about like the physical appearance of the model, or are you just talking about...
That was my intention, yes. But not from a sexual standpoint, just from an actual model.
Right.
How do you like it?
Yeah, like aesthetics.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's why I was like, I got confused. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I wasn't thinking about having sex with my model, if that's what you were implying.
I mean, you were rubbing it.
Aesthetically? Rubbing it and sex with it. Two different things.
So I'll start. I initially did not like this model. When we were, like, Kenny and I were just, you know, going through all the models, looking at the renders, right, and the one image they would have on Creature Caster's site, did not like this model at all. In person, I like this model a lot more. I actually like the pose. I like the dress. I think it's very ornate. So I would give this model slightly above average. So I would give it a 6 out of 10, realizing I think the average for a judgment model is pretty high. So anyway, there's my aesthetics rating on the model is a 6 out of 10.
I like everything but the staff, because I'm holding the model in my hand right now and I'm looking at it. Like the dress, I really like the leaves. I like the medallions, like around the waist and then going down. Like, I think that's cool. The ribbons are all right. The dress, I really like the dress. So I'm probably, if we're saying on average, I'd probably go to 6 as well. The only thing that's not doing it for me is the staff. I'm not a big fan of the staff. It's just kind of, I don't want to say it's kind of plain, but it does. It's just, it's kind of plain.
I enjoyed her. Painting her was cool. She's much larger on the table than many of the other models, which I like. She actually feels very Minotaur-y, unlike maybe like Cradle, who is like, that's a Minotaur? What the fuck?
Is Cradle a Minotaur?
I believe so. She's a Minotaur shaman, undead, weird-ass thing.
She's an undead shadow hunter. So I agree, Cradle. I don't know what Cradle is. But
I do not know who you are.
Yes, undead shadow hunter. She has horns, but is not a Minotaur, probably.
I would say she's probably not big enough to be a Minotaur, but she's undead, so maybe she's got some weight.
Is it a she?
One thing that I...
It's a she.
Okay.
Yeah. The one thing I do like about these miniatures, it's a creature caster kind of thing. They have really cool silhouettes. Like, just seeing the models on the table and kind of like their shapes. They make really cool shapes. They're not static for the most part. There's a handful of them that are kind of bad. Not many, but she's one that has a really cool like silhouette, and it's cool to paint her and get it all done. You know what? I said a 7 before. I'm still going to say a 7. I really dig the model. I like what she looks like.
Can you add the Terra in on what it looks like?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Terras are Terras. So a 7, right. Kenny gave her a what?
I'm a 6.5. I'll be 6.5.
Don't be, no, 6 or 7. Stop it.
I'm going to say 6 only because I don't like the staff, but that's a personal that's fine. Thing.
That's okay. That's okay. Where were you at, Aaron?
6.
All right. 6s have it. Cool. And then we just have to find out what the fuck Cradle is.
Low on the hotness rating for me.
You are so wrong, but that's going to be another cast.
God.
That's wrong here.
Not only are you a bad player, but you have bad takes.
Words, oh my God. Words hurt. You guys are just beating me up. So
we promised Svelte episodes of about an hour, so we're going to run through our champions and peasants fairly quickly. So I will go first. My champion, and we'll just do them both together instead of breaking it all apart. My champion was Donegar. He stood in the middle of Aaron's entire list and basically survived a turn longer than he probably should have. Then he went down like a champion. I was super proud of him. I played him horribly. He should have never been there. He tried his very best. I failed him. My peasant. Zavera, like, she couldn't figure out what her job was and did nothing for an entire game. So, whatever. So, that's my list of this week. Aaron, where are you at?
My champion is going to be Cradle. Just got some nice work done against you. Didn't hurt that I gave her a Vorpal. turns out you...
I was like, what is her melee? Good God!
Well, now it's a 7. Didn't really help. Like, I still need to explore that. So, being able to just Shadow Mist token, heal, leech, regen. It was just a lot of abilities. She came through. My peasant's gonna be Zhonya. It's really me for putting Zhonya there, but just I'm gonna blame her. Actually, it is her fault. She failed to count the number of squares between herself and Kogan, and was just like, "Nah, boss, I'm gonna stand right here. What could go wrong?" Yeah.
Your champion is actually someone else's Kogan.
That's what I've got.
Kenny?
My champion, you'll be surprised, is Lorabella still.
Fucking whore.
I did the Perrin thing where when I played against Nymeron, where I got the spring loaded and I bought the Heartseeker. And just spring loaded into his Cradle and wiped it off the board. Well, he walked back and I think I attacked and pushed his Cradle back into range of her and then just opened up again. it was fun.
Kenny, you have no soul.
yeah, you're right. I had a good time with that though. Spring loaded is no joke. It's legit.
It's good.
It is legit. My peasant is Marcus.
What?
I had a couple of bad games with Marcus, but the biggest problem I had with Marcus, and I don't know if this is a Victor thing, where Victor summoned the little tiny demon, walked up to Marcus, and then taunted him. And Marcus could do nothing for like 3 turns.
Cute.
It was. It sucked. He was like, "Oh, you really?" And he even like said, "I played really well around the taunt stuff." But it's like he charged the demon at me or whatever, taunted me. I did some damage to it, pushed it into the monster. Monster killed it. He just summoned it again, taunted me. And I'm like, well, and he did it for 3 turns where he just kept summoning. He spent 1 fate and an action and took my Marcus off the table basically for like 3 turns. That felt bad. He did not do well. He couldn't kill it 1 turn. And I was like, well, so then it went to the next turn. The demon was still there, taunted me again. I was like, that's great. It's fantastic.
Well, it sounds like we all had some come-uppins and some learn-ins that happened.
Yeah, not great. I put myself probably in a bad position for that to happen anyway, but that taunt is pretty good.
Awesome. Anything else to add for tonight's cast?
I can't think of anything other than if you're able to come to the tournament we're having on Saturday. I guess that's...
In the past.
This will be in the past. So, in the past, next week we'll talk about how Aaron upset me.
Probably. That's probably true.
Or how Perrin used some jank and made me go cross-eyed probably for a good 5 minutes. That'll be fun. I don't have anything else. I'm just talking out of my ass now.
I'm good.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening. And again, if we've gotten things wrong, let us know. We are here for just discussions and having a good time.
The very last thing I'll say is forest template. You motherfucker. Find it. Find the forest template. I've been distracted this entire cast. I've been looking ever since. I can't find it.
It's probably in a thread from like 3 years ago that someone's going to find.
Yeah.
All I know
is BS. Find it, take it, put it on haul, make it official.
Yes, it's on page 51 where it talks about templates, but it doesn't specifically say because it says it's on the hero. But we'll talk about that later.
All right, you big dumb idiot. We'll catch you all next week. Fucking signing out. Jeremy, out.
Kenny, out.
Aaron.
Take care, guys.